This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force Radio. Today, our topic on this broadcast is deliverance. Is deliverance in the Bible? Do Christians need deliverance? Is that a topic that we need to address today in this modern day and age? We have a special guest that is in the deliverance ministry. He is from Sarasota, Florida. His name is John George. Hi, John. It's so nice to have you today. We're eager to hear what you have to say.
If you might want to include this, it came to me a few minutes ago. Dr. Rome, many people are under the belief system that a Christian cannot have an unclean spirit attached to their lives. And many times it's on the foundation of the scripture that says light and darkness cannot be in the same place. But the problem is that is just a misinterpretation of that scripture. The Bible, what he's referring to in that scripture is that the Apostle Paul was addressing the Christians and talking about not sinning. And he was even going as far as to saying not hanging out or having fellowship or associating with unbelievers who were walking according to darkness. And he was reiterating it by saying, what fellowship does light have with darkness? He was basically saying they don't walk together agreed. They don't get along. And so he was not saying that a person who's born again cannot have an evil spirit, but a lot of people take that scripture out of context and they even misinterpret it to say something that it doesn't say. One of the things that I find interesting about the word is that if Christians got delivered at the moment of conversion completely at salvation, then he would have never commanded us to cast out devils. He would have just commanded us to get everybody converted and get everybody saved. Because if that was the ticket, if that was the answer, he would have stopped there. But he didn't. He told us to cast out devils. And so there is a multifaceted experience there. And that's when a lot of people who have been Christians for years, and they just can't seem to get past this hump, they can't seem to get past this block or this reoccurring issue in their life. Even if they've experienced freedom in so many areas of their life, it's because that they need deliverance. And one of the most common, the most common testimony that we hear back from Christians who get delivered at our service, which is almost all of them, literally, you wouldn't believe how many Christians come and they get delivered of something where they have this breakthrough that they never knew was available. And when they experience this, the common, single most common testimony is that they can then hear the voice of God clearer. Their worship is taken to another level. Their hunger for the Word of God begins to increase like it never has before. And it is just, and also their ability to pray for people and to be bold and to go up and to even minister is literally without limitations now. And it's so amazing. See, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, what, if anything, of value would Satan be intent on taking? And, of course, it's all of the good things that come from God. And so we have to know that. We have to know that even the ministry, Satan is dead set on trying to stop. He wants to hinder. He wants to block. He wants to delay. Even Paul mentions in the scripture that he desired to come to a certain town, but Satan stopped him. And we have to know, if Paul had this revelation, if he knew this, we need to get it too. And we need to know. So many Christians think that sometimes when things aren't necessarily working out like they think it should, because we're under this false pretense that God's in it, then it'll just, everything will flow smoothly. Well, God was in the Apostle Paul's life fluently, and he was bitten by a poisonous snake. He was shipwrecked. And the point being is that being led by the Spirit will have many challenges. And we got to know that there is an evil presence, but greater is He that is within us. And we need to understand that message. You know, deliverance ministry, deliverance itself is really just a portion of ministry, period. I mean, there's a lot of different areas to serve Jesus in this life. There are many different places where people serve, as far as feeding the homeless, you know, ministering and healing, evangelizing, sharing the good news, and that can even be expressed in all of these ways as well. Deliverance primarily focuses on battling the enemy head on in an aggressive manner, which unfortunately is, most people are very ignorant of in today's even church culture. We have a doctrine that just is exempt of an enemy force. Jesus, the Bible says, the sole purpose that Jesus was made manifest was to destroy the works of the devil.
So it's only a part of a greater ministry. And you said something there, you face the enemy head on. Wow, okay. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, the ministry itself includes the fullness of Christ and everything that He's done for us. And for a long period of time, people have believed that Jesus just simply came so that we would have an opportunity to enter into heaven when we die. But the Scripture actually reveals that Jesus came and He told us to, when we go out and when we preach His good news, when we preach His salvation, that we are to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that it has come nigh unto them, that it is a present term or present tense experience.
The kingdom of heaven is right here now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely. And that is phenomenal news. It's phenomenal news. Person who's living today, who's struggling today, who's, you know, battling with oppression, depression, anxiety, fear, worry, sickness, all of these different life debilitating symptoms and conditions. And, you know, Jesus said that He has come that we would have life and life in abundance. And we have so many different things that God has created us for, to partake of, to succeed in, to, you know, just to thrive in life itself. We cannot forget that God is the one that created us to be here and to be now, to have dominion and to rule on the earth. And He created this for our enjoyment, for our pleasure. And He takes delight and pleasure in watching us commune with Him and have all the victory and success that He provides in this life.
That's not a mean God that's so unhappy with us. Here we have a God that's extending a hand toward us. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, Dr. Rome, you bring up a very good point. Something that the Lord had recently illuminated to me is in the book of Genesis, when God warned Adam and Eve not to touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil, He told them that if you eat of it, you shall surely die. And many people perceive that God is the one that brings about this calamity upon mankind. But the problem is all through Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it describes death itself as an enemy of God. And it even goes as far as saying that the last enemy to be defeated is death. So when God was warning man the consequences of their actions by entering into sin, He was not necessarily the one who loosed death upon mankind, because the Bible clearly says that death is an enemy of God.
Mm-hmm. And so we've got an enemy, and that's who we're facing. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think it really, you know, just that one example of interpretation of Scripture when using other Scriptures to balance it, to get right understanding,
mm-hmm.
it really allows us to see maybe some of the errors where we might have been looking at things incorrectly. And He really is a good God, and He really does desire for us to be fruitful and, of course, have dominion over the earth.
So, as I'm listening to you, we do have an enemy, and we have misunderstood this, actually blaming God.
Many people do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the midst, absolutely. In the midst of our struggles in life, people who really don't have a proper theology or perception of who God is, many times they do blame God and they believe that he's responsible because the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And when we don't know right perceptions, when we don't have right understanding of things concerning this life and the spirit realm and God himself, it can actually really throw us off course in the way we're perceiving what is happening to us. Without that right understanding, we can't rightfully stand in opposition and not necessarily lay down for these things any longer. And so I have a gentleman very recently whose his mother came down to one of our weekly deliverance sessions. This woman is a vice president of a bank, and she came and got delivered. She began to manifest at our deliverance service and ended up going through deliverance. This woman has been a Christian most of her life from a very young age. She's 53 years old, and after her deliverance, she noticed that the anger that had dominated most of her life was totally gone, and she had no idea because she didn't have necessarily a theology that embraced the idea that the life torments that we deal with are as a result of the possible enemy presence that needs to be eradicated and evicted from our life. So this woman ended up getting delivered, and 53 years of anger left her. Praise God.
Wow, 53 years old, and she didn't know about deliverance. And this just proves your point. Many people don't know. Some actually preach against it and don't believe it.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it's real.
Absolutely.
And our Christian training doesn't necessarily train us. Okay, go on.
Yes, absolutely. And what was beautiful is after she experienced her freedom, she knew that her family needed this, and specifically her son. And her son was so vexed by evil presence in his life that this spirit, similar to the story in the Bible, would throw him into seizures. And as she began to even describe to him her deliverance experience, he would go into these fits of seizures and begin to manifest these seizures just by her describing her deliverance and her desire for him to be free. And she invited me to come up to her home and minister to her family. And I normally don't do that as much anymore because I just can't pray for people individually anymore. There's just too much of a demand. There's too many people that need this ministry. So I've limited to group experiences, group settings, just so that I can help more people at once. And obviously, so it'll get more exposure, so maybe others will take the baton for their own lives, and the Lord will possibly raise up other people to do this ministry. But I went up there, and a friend of her, the friend who had invited her was also a woman who has several years clean from addiction, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, came to one of our deliverance services just to be a prayer warrior. She came because she was on fire for the Lord, believed in radical miracles, and she heard about our service and came down and just wanted to be a prayer warrior. And she ended up getting delivered here of something that she didn't even know she had. And after she got delivered, she had these thoughts that used to come to her mind in the middle of the pastor preaching and different things that just left when that spirit left her life, as well as some other things such as anxiety and so on. But she came to support and to pray with me for that family when we went up there. I asked her if she'd be interested in sharing her testimony on video, and she said absolutely. So I was recording her testimony, and in the middle of her just describing her deliverance, this gentleman sitting on the couch across the room who had these seizures, the demon began to take him into a seizure right then and there. And we thankfully concluded her testimony right at that moment and were meant by the Spirit of the Lord to transition into his deliverance. And so I went over across the room and just began to command this spirit to come out of him. And he had a very aggressive deliverance. Not everyone has a deliverance that's aggressive, but he did. And ever since that day, he's had these seizures since he was a child. He has no more seizures anymore. But not to mention that alone, but also the fact that he has come alive for Jesus in such a way where his hunger for the Word, his hunger for Christ alone in worship and in just having daily communion and fellowship with him has just gone through the roof. He drives over an hour to get to our service on a weekly basis, and he is just, and he told me at one of our services, the first time he was here, he says several weeks later, he said, "John, I just want to let you know, I've grown up in church my whole life." And he says, "And I never knew the fullness of what Jesus came to provide for us until after my deliverance session when you were teaching here a few weeks later and you were describing the fullness of our inheritance and how it is to be free in every area of our life, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, free in every area." And he says, and that just... He says, "That just gets me so excited," and he is so on fire right now. He just wants, he's already contacting me on how to step out and to minister to people because he wants to share the good news. He wants to share Jesus with the world, and it's so exciting to see a young man who used to be, he was addicted to drugs. He was actually shooting drugs intravenously when I prayed for him the first time, and it just was a phenomenal turnaround just from this impact of the Spirit of God ministering to him in his life.
Here, once again, you're bringing up these people, some of these people, you know, they've been church people, they've been raised in church, but you brought up something else that I think is valuable that our listeners should know. Anxiety, anger, fear is sometimes a manifestation of demons in your life. And some people say, "Well, there's no demon can be in you." Well, I generally say it don't matter whether they're in you, around you, or controlling you, or manipulating you. Still, the results are the same.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the point is that, you know, a question we really need to ask ourselves is, you know, our gauge for our standard of living should be the Word of the Lord. And unfortunately, we don't see so much of the expression that we see in the Word in our daily lives, in our churches, in our ministries, and we are, thank God, seeing more and more of that today in a way like we've not seen before. There truly is a revival taking place amongst the body of Christ, and we really are being awakened to the reality of the fullness of what Jesus Christ purchased for us. And I wanted to add that many times people, they exaggerate what demonic activity is to look like. And the reason is because we've grown up on Hollywood. We've watched all these movies. And so to us, with the way we've been programmed, consciously, subconsciously, whatever you want to call it, we have been led to believe that in order to have demonic activity in our lives, then we need to be levitating, spitting up split pea soup, and our heads, you know, spinning 360 degrees. But the problem is in the Scripture, Jesus showed us a case of a woman who had an unclean spirit attached to her life that simply resulted in a crook in her back. This woman simply had a hunch in her spine where her physical body was manipulated in a way where she just couldn't stand up straight. And Jesus showed us that it was an evil spirit that was the result of that physical condition. Now today, if we were to go and, you know, tell Aunt Marge in our church that the crook in her back might be an unclean spirit, and could you pray for her? You know, unfortunately, you might get kicked out if you were to even bring up something like that. But the Bible reveals to us that that is a very real possibility.
You can. Wow.
Amen.
This is interesting. Do you have more to tell us?
I do. You know, I think that, you know, because we have theologies that do not give allowance for the possibility of a present enemy, it debilitates us, because if without the realization that you're under attack by an enemy force, you won't be able to stand accordingly. You won't be able to resist accordingly. You won't be able to position yourself accordingly, because you're not honoring the battle. You're not honoring the fact that you're under attack, because someone can only position themselves in a defense or even offensive position if they recognize that it's an attack and that they shall not stand for this. They will not stand for this. I think that with right understanding, if we know that many of the things in our life is coming from the enemy, just by that alone will let us know that it is not God's will, and we'll be able to reposition ourselves accordingly. We'll be able to resist many things that come against us that unfortunately most people just accept as being God's portion for them, and it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of the body of Christ really needs to understand our role, you know, in serving God. So many people, I've had people even message me or respond to the consideration that they might even need deliverance, and they just simply say, well, why can't I just pray to God and have Him do it? And honestly, then if that was the case, then He would have never commanded us to cast out demons. If everybody could just directly go to God, there is a service, there is an anointing that has been given and deployed upon man that are useful for His good works, according to the Scripture. And we need to, the Bible says, honor a prophet or a righteous man in the name of a prophet or a righteous man, and you'll receive the prophet's reward. And the reward is your healing. The reward is whatever flow God is using them for to administer to your life, to bring forth your healing, to bring forth your deliverance. And I think that there's been such a separation through religion or whatever you want to call it over the years that has caused a dishonor, and it's a false humility where it tries to make it look like it's pride or arrogance. But the Scripture has another position on that, and the Word of God says that we are to honor that. But I think for too long we've dishonored it under the pretense that we don't need man. But the Bible says that the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. We need each other in the body of Christ. And so it's very important to know that.
That is the ministry of being a believer to the world. Salvation has come to the world, and the word salvation in the New Testament is the word deliverance too. It's the same word. Deliverance and salvation are the same word. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's so beautiful to know. And you know, for those listening, it's extremely important. If you're listening and you don't know Jesus, and you don't even know, I know that there was a period of time in my life where I didn't even know why I needed Christ. I didn't even know, you know, what the point of, I mean, it was always represented as just for my eternal resting place, which was great. I can pray a prayer and hopefully receive that. But the point was so much more, that Jesus has an expression for me here on this earth. He has victory for me and freedom for me and healing for me. He healed me of hepatitis C myself, because just 9 years ago, I myself was a drug addict. I was living under the oppression of darkness, and I found the salvation in Jesus when I called upon Him to help me. And I'm living a life today that I never dreamed I would live, and it's all because of Jesus. And I just want the listeners to understand, if you're in that position and you've never quite heard why you need Jesus, Jesus is the healer of our souls. He's the restorer of life. He's the restorer of victory and thriving and life in abundance, because that was His original plan for you.
There are people listening that are saying, I want what John is talking about. I want that. Do you think you could pray for those people out that are listening?
Sure can. In order to experience the fullness of what Jesus has for you. It requires a daily, just a turning over. If you really want to experience, and I've even been in that place in my life where I can say that I've tried that Jesus thing before and it didn't quite work for me. And I didn't know what I was doing that was where I wasn't getting what other people were experiencing. But I'm telling you, the more that I began to search him out, he truly opened up to me in a way that I never would have thought I would have been able to experience. So I would absolutely love to pray for you. If you just want to consider opening up your heart, opening up your life, all of the areas of brokenness, all of the areas of despair, all of the areas where maybe you've even reached for so many life satisfactions and you've never quite received the inward satisfaction that you were longing for, he is available and he is able. And if you've got sickness in your body, he is quite able to heal. If you have torment in your soul, if you have thoughts that you know are not your own, and maybe you've thought for many, many years that they were yours, and you thought that if you told anybody you'd be considered crazy or locked up or what have you, I want to pray for you because it's not you. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing to even the soul and spirit, bone and marrow. And the word of God, when his truth comes in, it is able to separate your human soul from any unclean spirit that might have been conjoined to make it look like it was you, but he's coming in and he's separating, he's dividing right now with his truth. So Father, I lift up the listeners to you right now, God. And Father, I thank you for each and every person that is listening right now, that this is truly divine appointment, that they are not here by chance, God, that they are here in this moment. Father, that you are wooing them in by your Spirit, that you are reaching out to them and you are extending your hand of deliverance, you're extending your hand of salvation, you're extending your hand of healing, Father. And I thank you for touching each and every person right now where they're at listening to this broadcast, Father, that they're being touched by your Spirit, that healing and salvation and deliverance is just coming to them right now. Father, I pray that your presence would just envelop them, God, that you would mark them by your Spirit this day, and that you would call them in this moment as yours. And if you're listening, I just want you just to invite Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I desire to seek you and to discover you and the riches that you bring for my life. I desire for you to have lordship and dominion over my life. And Father, take everything out of me that is not of you. Your word says, God, that if we ask, you are faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so by that, because you've commissioned me and ordained me to do this work, I will serve you, God, for the sake of the people listening today. And I come right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I speak to every spirit of unrighteousness, because he is faithful to cleanse them of unrighteousness. And I speak to every unclean spirit, every unrighteous thing attached to their bodies, to their souls, to their even their spirit. And I say in the name of Jesus, every demon power, you are hereby ordered by the Spirit of the living God to leave them now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will flee their lives. You will go from them in the name of Jesus. You will flee their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke you from their lives now in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, I believe you just might have got delivered there.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My friend, that's what Christianity is about. That's why Jesus came.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.